afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. Also, as you all know, we will have special guests to discuss different frontier and mining-related topics. Most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment. Or maybe you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Coming up first, folks, that's, of course, our weekly quiz. If you want to win a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining, that's your precious metals people, you'll want to know who's located at this phone number. The number is 452-8211. I want you to tell me who's located at that phone number, who they are, where they are, and a lot of detail about what they do. How about that? But the number there is 452-8211. Once you have the information that we've requested here, then you give us a call. And our number here is 479-TALK, 479-8255. You just never know when knowing these kinds of numbers might not be worth a silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. And they're located at 208 Wendell Street. And once again, you know them as your precious metals people because they've got all kinds of gold and jewelry and silver just right for Christmas giving. So right now, we're kind of interested in having our first caller see if they can identify who's located at 452-8211. How interesting. For some reason, I can't get the buttons to stay buttoned. Let's try this one more time. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Tip Top Chevrolet.
Tip Top Chevrolet. Where are they located, my friend?
Oh, they're on Cushman Street, probably around 1800 blocks.
1916 Cushman. Tell me all you know about Tip Top Chevrolet in a minute or less.
Minute or less? Well, we'll
okay,
go for
a minute
less.
And a half.
All right, we'll go for less. Well, they're the local Chevy dealer, and whatnot. They've been there for got to be about 30 years now. Close?
Right.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
32 years to be exact.
32. All right. What can I say? They got used cars across the street. We got a used car division.
Uh-huh. Are you aware of their service department?
Well, yeah. They've got a great service department. It's been there
okay.
As long as they've been. They've got a body shop now, too.
Right. And the service department is run by Randy Meadows, who's been with Tip Top Chevrolet for 6 years. We better not forget Randy. And you mentioned the body shop. Randy Mayhew is running the body shop. He's been there for 6 years, too. So they've got some longtime chaps over there running the operation. Can you tell me anything more about Tip Top Chevrolet that the public might like to know?
Locally owned.
They're locally owned.
Yeah.
There have been three generations of Ginthers that have owned and operated Tip Top Chevrolet. Did you hang up on me?
No, I didn't.
Are you still there? I heard that noise. At any rate, if you will kindly give me your name, I will write it down here, and you know what the rules are?
No, but I'm sure you'll tell me.
I sure will, okay. First, give me your first name and last initial.
First name is Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, last initial is H.
Okay, Stephen, tell you what do. You pop up here to the KFAR studio. It's located in Washington Plaza. And pick up the certificate that I'm making out for you right now, And then you take this certificate over to Oxford Assaying and Refining, and they're located where? Do you remember where that's at?
Gotta be over on First somewhere.
It's 208 Wendell Street.
Wendell and First or somewhere?
No, it's a 208 Wendell Street.
Okay.
It's just this side of the bridge, you
right.
see. This
yeah,
one.
I know where it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you take it over to Oxford, you hand it to the folks over there, either hand it to Dee Church, and she will hand you a 1 troy ounce silver ingot, and you'll love it. They're beautiful.
All right.
Okay, Stephen. Well, thanks so much for playing the game with us today.
Sure thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, this afternoon, folks, I have a guest here in the studio that has recently made a fine contribution to the community of Fairbanks. That's Neville Jacobs. Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Neville, give us a little bit of your background regarding where you were born. I'm not going to ask you the year you were born. You made it clear to me in the beginning of the show, before the beginning of the show, that that was not a number that you were handing out frequently. So where were you born?
I was born in San Francisco.
And give us a little background of your young, earlier years in around California, San Francisco, and where you lived in California, if you might.
Well, you said that you were born in San Jose, and actually my mother was born there a few decades before your time. She was on a trip to Canada in the 20s. My grandfather had a new Buick, I think, and so they were on their way. She and her mother, my grandmother and family, were on their way north, and this car broke down because I understand roads were somewhat less smooth than they are today. And the car broke down, and she walked into the little town of Dunsmuir, and a man came along she was walking back in his van, and she thought maybe he was a delivery man or something, but it turned out he was a local highway engineer. They were putting in the highway that is running through I-5 or something today, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And so it turned out it was my dad, and that's how they met.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he courted her and wound up in San Francisco courting her some more, and they got married, and then they eventually moved down. It was then after the Depression time came along, they moved to Southern California, and then I was born. And I was born in San Francisco, then they moved down to Southern California. So I grew up in the Los Angeles area. And in 1949, we had a friend who came to Alaska right after the end of World War II. And he kind of lost... we had lost track of him. The friendship had become sort of vaporous, when all of a sudden a letter appeared, and he said he was now head of real estate for USARAL, and he was working closely with the Territorial Division of Highways, and they needed a highway engineer with my dad's specialization, and would Daddy come up? That's how we came to Alaska.
Oh, I'll be darned. And what year was that?
Well, that was in 1949.
In 1949, and you went where, to Fairbanks?
We went to Anchorage at that time.
Dad
was chief of operations and assistant district engineer for the Anchorage Judicial Division during territorial days.
And how old were you then, No?
Well, I was in my teens.
In your teens,
mm-hmm.
I see. Had you finished high school?
Yeah, I had gotten out of high school, and actually I had gone to college a little bit in California.
Uh-huh. And were you then, did you go to school here, or what did you do when you came to Anchorage? Just kind of, were you just a homebody?
I went to work. I was trying to remember. I hadn't thought about it a while. I actually went to work for KENI Radio.
Oh, was that right?
And I wrote advertisements. What do you call it? Continuity. I was a continuity writer, and I wrote a radio show called Mucklock Telegraph. A news radio show.
Well, let me tell the audience just...
we didn't talk about that.
No, we didn't talk about it. You didn't tell me you knew all about these things, but you did tell me that you also put together a program, and we'll get into that in just a little while, another program locally,
mm-hmm.
interviewing the sourdoughs. And I want to talk about that a little bit. But tell me a little bit more about what you did in Anchorage before you came up to Fairbanks.
Well, I also started painting. I had become acquainted with Jeannie Lawrence, and it was, for some reason, a great inspiration, and Sidney Lawrence had died 10 or 12 years before that time, but I started painting. I had painted since I was a youngster in California. At one point, when I was a child, we had lived at Laguna Beach. And I studied art there, and my grandmother was a painter. So when we, after we came to Alaska, the beauty of the land was a real inspiration, and I started painting, and I had my first one-person show in the early 50s in Anchorage.
And so you...
So I was painting, and I was also working and doing other things.
So you painted all your life, and but you also had a focus in terms of higher level education. What was that?
Well, I had been interested in anthropology. I really wanted to. I didn't know a whole lot about what it was. I knew that it was about the study of peoples, and I was just really profoundly interested in different cultures and the ways of different peoples and their belief systems, and I wanted to go on to school. So eventually I came on back up here to the University of Alaska.
Well, I want to talk about your coming to Fairbanks here and entering the University of Alaska just after a couple of messages. Thank you, Neville.
A fashion fur from Gerald Victor Furs is an investment in quality for years to come, and Gerald Victor Furs will be here in those coming years to help you with the service, maintenance, and proper storage of your fine fur garments. Four generations of Alaska-based master furriers means a care, knowledge, and ability to stand behind the quality of their product right here in Fairbanks that only Gerald Victor can guarantee. Make sure your next fur comes from the company that cares enough to stand behind you and your investment right here at home. Gerald Victor Furs in the Owl Tree at the Bentley Mall or downtown at 3rd and Lacey.
A lot of Alaskan families are watching the mailbox waiting for their permanent fund checks. And there's a lot you can do with them. Go to Hawaii, buy a new car. We'd like you to consider this, though. With HUD Home's easy ownership programs, your permanent fund money could unlock the door to a new home instead. Before you reserve 2 weeks on the beach, call your real estate agent and discover how easily HUD Homes can help you buy your family a real change of scene for the holidays.
I want to talk a little bit about the sponsors of Alaska Gold Trails. I know a lot of people sometimes get it confused, get sponsors confused with straightforward advertising. The way I see sponsors for this particular radio show is that they believe in this type of program and that it makes a valuable contribution to the community, and so they have taken the time and the money to sponsor the program. And of course these sponsors are the same people that you want to know about regarding the winning of a silver ingot each week. I have six of them online, and they include Gabe's Truck and Auto, which you've talked about many, many times. And of course, there was Tip Top Chevrolet, Oxford Assaying and Refining, who is, are the precious metals people, Mount McKinley Mutual Bank, and of course, we also have Macaulay's Reprographics online. So, we have a fine group of sponsors here at on Alaska Gold Trails, and it might do you well to keep them in mind. One of the people that I just mentioned was Macaulay's Reprographics, and of course, many people have given personal testimony about Macaulay's Reprographics and regarding the quality of the material that they have over there in terms of services and the supplies that they provide the surveying industry. And I want you to know that Alfred and Rebecca over there are always available for to answer questions on any of the equipment and supplies they might have. In addition to the surveying equipment, they also have drafting equipment of the highest quality, I might add, plus the highest quality in terms of field compasses and taping and instruments. I'd also like to point out that they have a full line of reproductive equipment over there so that you can shrink and enlarge maps and field materials. So stop over there at Macaulay's Reprographics. They're located at 721 Gaffney, and their phone number is 452-8141. Once again, that's Macaulay's Reprographics, located at 721 Gaffney. Their phone number once again, 452-8141. And hey, tell them you heard Jim Madonna talking about them on Alaska Gold Trails. Neville, we were talking about coming to the University of Alaska and studying anthropology, but before we get into that, I want to tell the listening audience, if they have a question for you or want to talk to you for a minute on the radio, our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479 8255, and you're sure welcome to give us a call and talk to Neville. Okay, Neville, tell us about your experiences in education and anthropology and where you went and what you did.
Oh, that's such a big subject. Most recently, I've been interested in postgraduate research, I think somebody called it. But I've been in the Himalayas, in the Tibetan refugee communities, and I've also painted there. I've gone there both from anthropological and philosophical interests and as a painter. And I suppose going back, maybe coming forward chronologically, I was in the early 50s, my folks became interested in mining, and I had become involved with some an Eskimo show. It was the Eskimo dance pageant during the Fur Rendezvous, and made friends with some Eskimos there. So when we went to Nome the following summer, they invited me to go with them out to Little Diomede Island. And this was this couple, Sammy and Mary Mogg, his father was a whaling captain. And that's, if I ever wrote the books that I keep saying I'm going to write, that would be an interesting story to write about that family. But they invited me to go out to Diomede Island with them. And I was painting and doing, making notes about my experiences with the people as Eskimo, as the Eskimo culture, the fading, you know, of the old traditions. And so I found that fascinating. And eventually I came on up to the University of Alaska here and matriculated, and I finished a bachelor's during the time that Dr. Scarland was there.
Oh, is that right?
Went to
Scarland Hall of Fame?
Yes. I knew Dr. Scarland and Dr. Geist from Geist Road fame, both. And then I went on to Hawaii and did graduate work, and then I came back up here on a business trip, and friends convinced me that I should really come back up here. Dr. Scarland had passed away, and they had a whole new graduate school formed, and so I actually did finish my master's up here, although I had put a year in, put a year in at the University of Hawaii in graduate studies there. And I worked at the Bishop Museum there, and that was fascinating. So I've had some nice experiences in connection with that aspect of my work experience.
Have you continued? Now, you say you're doing post. What's this post?
Postgraduate.
Postgraduate.
Somebody said, oh, you're doing postgraduate research. Really, I've been, since the late 1970s, I've been interested and involved in the Tibetan refugee people.
Uh-huh.
And that is a whole other subject
that's
far removed from gold mining. Other than, I might mention, people say, why in the world? They don't know what Tibet is. It's, it was an independent nation prior to the taking over by China in the 1950s. And they say, why would China want to take over this high plateau, this barren land? Well, the Tibetans didn't mine. They picked gold. You know, they placer mined. They extracted gold from surface areas when that was where it was abundant, but they never mined Tibet. So it is a very highly enriched area mineralogically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason China would want it.
You said that you spent some time up at Nome.
Yes.
And you went over to Little Diomede.
Yes.
What took you to Nome?
Well, my dad had become involved in a mining operation, and so my parents went up there for the summer of 1953. And in the meantime, the previous spring, I had become acquainted with these Eskimo friends, Sammy and Mary Mogg, and she and I had a very strong personal rapport, and ever after, she referred to me as her white sister, and I was her Eskimo sister, and I have a funny story to tell about that.
I see.
We were at a little potlatch one time, and she introduced her me to a friend as her white sister, as her sister. She didn't qualify it and say, this is my white sister, and imply that it was a...
very strong relationship.
Strong friendship, you know, close. She just said, this is my sister, and the woman drew back and looked at us and back and forth, and Mary said, same mother, different fathers. And the woman nodded. She says, yes, it happens that way sometimes. We laughed about that for a long time.
The how did you meet Mary? You said you met her in Anchorage.
Well, yeah, I was pulling the curtain for the Eskimo dance pageant that it was being sponsored by the Business Professional Women's Organization. And so I volunteered to pull a curtain of this dance pageant during the Fur Rendezvous. So I became acquainted with the Eskimos through that. And then also my parents and I were involved with a small photographic group. And it happened that there was a professional lecturer there. He was on the Cavalcade of America, and he heard that Sammy Mogg had a whole lot of movie film, 16-millimeter movie film, of Eskimo life and walrus hunting out in the Bering Sea. So he wanted to see those movies. So we had a 30-foot-long living room. So we invited everybody over one evening to look at these movies. And this lasted for hours. They reviewed thousands of feet of movie film. So Mary and I sat over in the corner chatting, and we just developed a friendship very rapidly through the hours of watching these movies go by.
A question on the, just to move a little away from the friendship for just a moment and into the movies, Cavalcade of America, did they ever use any of those movies?
I don't know. The man's name was Vincent Palmer. His wife was Lucy, and among the things that they did, he told me that they swam underwater. She painted, and they dove. They made a lot of underwater movies. That's what they normally lectured about, but he wanted to make a movie of his Alaskan travels, and I know he acquired a lot of film that particular night. Whatever happened to it, I don't know.
He got the film then. It didn't end up in the archives of
No, he didn't buy all of the film that he reviewed, but I know he was making... He sat over in the corner with a little talkie machine. It was a little wire recorder, tape recorder, and he was enumerating to his machine as he watched these films, certain shots that he wanted to acquire dupes of from Sammy Mogg.
Well, that's a little information for somebody interested in perhaps archival-type films that might have been developed.
Actually, I don't know what he ever did. Now, Sammy's films, which would have been wonderful, wonderful films to have in the archives, they were lost. He had loaned them to a man at Kotzebue who had a trading post, and it burned.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so a lot of his film was lost.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, look, we're going to take you back up to Nome right after we talk about one of the sponsors here.
Good.
And so Neville, be ready for all the answers and to all the questions about Nome. Okay. Folks, I'm going to talk just a little bit about one of my most favorite sponsors, and that's B&L Pawn Shop. B&L Pawn Shop is located, as you all know, at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman. And a lot of times I've said, well, it's the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks because it has so many different kinds of items in it. And I could list them all, but you just got to drop in there to really enjoy the spectacle. I don't know if you've ever had that feeling of walking around in this maze of different kinds of things and looking at all these things, asking, for example, I've walked in there a number of times and had to ask the people behind the counter what a certain item was because I'd never seen anything like it before in my life. I'd like to also point out that B&L has traditionally offered tremendous savings. But also, if you tell that gal down there called Killer, you heard this advertising from Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails right here on KFAR, she'll sweeten the deal. And if you tell her specifically today that you heard it from Jim on this station, she'll even sweeten out a tatty bit more for you. And if your money's a little tight, they'll be happy to work with you on that too. So bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. If you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn Shop, 605 Gaffney. There's a bunch of good folks down there, Jim, Bruce, and Killer. They'll be happy to deal with you. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, so it says. And the only reason they won't sell the chandelier is because it's attached. I don't know, maybe if you'd ask Killer, she might even sell you this chandelier. That's B&L Pawn Shop. They're located at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman. 452-6491 is their number. 452-6491. Open 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday. And remember, tell Killer, you heard me talking about him right here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten that deal for you.
Now you can own a piece of the official gemstone of Alaska. Hello there, I'm Bruce Williams, and I'm talking about jade from the Jade Shop. The Jade Shop is a factory outlet. It means you come in anytime and see exquisite pieces being manufactured from the world-famous Perrone Rock jewelry. Jade clocks, jade inlaid tables and coffee tables, bookends, nameplates, and more. Golf putters just like mine at factory outlet prices. When you visit the Jade Shop, be sure and register for their free drawing. Once a month, beautiful jade clock is given away only at the Jade Shop.
One of the most unique places in Fairbanks is the Cookie Jar in Washington Plaza. They can prepare a cookie bouquet or cookie basket for you for that very special gift while you enjoy a delicious meal in their charming dining room. They specialize in homemade soup, salads, and sandwiches, and, of course, a fabulous array of tempting treats and gourmet coffees. And the Cookie Jar also carries a huge selection of cookie jars and matching teapots, sugar bowl, and creamer sets. So for that special gift-giving, gourmet dining, or just browsing, you'll find a special experience at the Cookie Jar in Washington Plaza.
I want to remind the folks out there that we're here with Neville Jacobs, and if you have a question for Neville, give us a call. Number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. We'd like to hear from you. Neville, we're going to Nome, kid. So what do you got there? What kind of fascinating stories do you have to tell us about your summertime in Nome?
Well, of course, Nome is an appropriate place for someone to talk who has a radio show about gold and gold mining to talk about Nome. Yes, it's a real interesting town from the historical point of view. Well, we went up there with a mining venture, which eventually was not successful. But in the meantime, as a result of my friendship with the Eskimo people in Anchorage, when we went to Nome, they invited me to go out to Diomede Island. And that's a long story and a great adventure. Incredible things happened. I did write it up, and it was published in 1954-55, a three-issue, three-part serial. I think I titled it Voyage on a Walrus Hide, and I think that's what they called it when they published it, in which was Alaska Sportsman magazine then. But something I didn't write up and put into that story, because it was at that time, it was very hush-hush. We had had a passenger who turned out to be a Russian spy.
Oh,
and
my.
He took a rubber life raft out of his luggage, inflated it, and paddled over to Big Diomede. And that story has not ever been told publicly that I know of. That was quite an unexpected adventure.
Tell us a little bit more about the adventure of that particular walrus hunt. How long were you supposed to be out there on that hunt?
Some friends had chartered the boat. Sammy and Mary Mogg were going to go out for a visit to the family, and so some other photographers came along, and then they invited me to go too. It was to have been a 7-day trip, and we were gone almost a month.
Did you run a lot of walrus meat?
Yeah, we did that too.
Yeah.
I have slides which I used to show frequently for groups. And I would call it a walrus hunting trip, you know, and somebody made the complaint. He says, this isn't a walrus hunting. This isn't about a walrus hunt. It really isn't a hunting film. But we did hunt walrus in the middle of the night when we were out crossing the Bering Strait. We were in an 35-foot umiak, which is an open boat made out of skin, walrus hide. And we were traveling in the ice pack and always aware and alert to the presence of animals, because that was our meat supply. We took tinned goods. We took a lot of canned goods, of course, but the meat was hunted along the way, and we shot seal and got out on the ice pack, the floating ice, and would put the Coleman stove out and boil up a seal right there and eat. And it was, you know, it's a very strong meat to a person not accustomed to the flavor of the meat. And I discovered that it was somewhat more palatable if you chewed it with an onion. I had taught myself to eat seal meat in the beginning.
Neville, let's see if we got a caller here for you. Hi, you're on the air.
Jim?
Yeah?
This is Betty Van Camp.
Hi, Betty, how are you?
Right now I'm in a little bit of trouble.
You're in trouble, kid. What's up?
I got arrested, and I'm in this jail or bail program with the March of Dimes. And if you're not familiar with it, what you do is somebody swears out a warrant for you, a real policeman comes and gets you. They put you in a jail over here at Bentley Mall, and you have a certain fine from the judge. My judge fined me $350 that I've got to raise through phone conversations. So I, on the way over here in the police car, heard you on the air, and I thought, uh-oh. I'll call Jim Madonna and see if there are any of my friends that are listening that might want to help me get out of this jail or bail situation
with a
contribution to March of Dimes.
March of Dimes. So I hope everybody's listening to this program for you, Betty, because we'd hate for you to sit in that jail overnight, kid.
Let me find out here something. If it's wanted to call here, what phone number could we get, Judge?
We'll have to make a little contribution to it.
Yeah, and Jim, you might want to help me out, don't you not?
Oh, love, you know, I'd just be more than happy to donate a few coins your way.
Okay, would you tell me what you would contribute so you I can put it on your treasury?
You want me to do it? What is the standard contribution?
Well, my time's $350. Any and all of it that you want to
Oh, I see. Well, look, with the number of friends that you have out in this community, I would be willing to bet that you'll have no trouble raising that $350. I'll go $10.
Oh, thank you very much,
okay.
Jim. And
okay.
The number they can call if they want to help out is 451-6489 or 451-6490. And I do need help because I need to get out here and get to work.
We have to have you working for us, love. Get out of the can, okay?
I would like to. Huh? This striped suit doesn't go well.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Get the camera quick.
What do you think of that, Neville? This kid calling us up and asking for money.
Yeah, I thought she was going to ask.
Hey, Neville, you're not off the hook either, honey.
Oh, no. I'm aware of that. I'm going to have to match his $10.
Give us the phone.
Okay. So, Neville, what is your, what's your address?
1126 6th Avenue.
1126?
I don't know if I should put that over the air. But, yes, uh-huh. But
okay.
I was going to come down and put the $10 into the kitty right away this afternoon to get you out of there.
Fantastic. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, wait. Don't
go
anywhere.
Wait a minute. I got to answer the phone. Hold on a minute.
Oh.
She's getting calls already.
I never... Well, how come, you know?
She's more popular than we
are. Hold on just a second, would you? Okay,
I want you to do me a favor.
Yeah.
Right quick. Can you make a call out of there? Can you make a call to another place?
Yeah.
Well, I want you to call Oxford Assaying and Refining. You know who they are?
What's their number?
They're 456-3967. And by the way, I want to let you know that they have a special quote line. That's 452-7858. Just in case, now sitting in the cam there, that you need the prices on gold, silver, and platinum, you give their quote line a call, and that might be something to talk about while you're sitting there overnight. And their phone number...
I can't be over here tonight. I got stuff to do.
And their number, once again, 456-3967. Now, they may give you silver or gold because they've got lots of silver and gold ingots over there.
Okay, but we'll just have to sell it and get the money.
Okay, kid. They're located at 208 Wendell Street. You ask for Dee Church over there. I'm sure she might give you a little bit to help you out of the can there.
Thank you very much, and I sure don't forget if I got any friends out there, get me out of this camp.
Okay, love. Nice talking to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good luck, Betty.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Jim.
Yeah.
This is one of your old students calling.
I know who it is exactly.
Don't say anymore.
I won't say anymore.
Jim, I need to know this afternoon on potash and your borax. What's the most likely solution to use between for the two?
Borax.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. You can use a mixture of borax and soda, and that'll, depending on whether you have, how much black sand you have in there, and a good person to call on that to get more definite mixes would be Tom Benjamin. He's associated right at the moment as a graduate student up at MIRL.
Okay.
And if you give him a call, they'll kind of, if you're having trouble getting the melt to go, talk to Tom and he'll give you the soda borax mixture, which might be more appropriate.
You know, you always told me it was 25-75, and I can never keep them straight.
Oh, borax would be 75, soda 25.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Okay, that's all I need to know, Jim.
Okay, my friend.
How's everything else going for you?
Well, Neville Jacobs and I are having a great conversation here. She's just about to tell me what happened to her on the trip, the 30-day trip that was supposed to be the 7-day trip, walrus hunting up at Nome.
Oh, great.
So thanks for the call, my friend.
Okay, you bet, Jim. I'm glad I can always turn to you for a little advice. I really appreciate it.
No problem. You know, the door's always open.
Okay, Jim. Thank you so much now.
Bye.
Bye.
Neville, tell us what happened. Where did you end up?
Well, on our way back, this trip went on and on. We were detained by the to be in queried by the OSI and the FBI, and finally we left Diomede, made our way back to Cape Prince of Wales, and a storm came in at our heels, and we were holed up at Cape Prince of Wales for a week. And finally this raging high wind went down a little bit, and there we were staying in the schoolhouse, about 20 of us, in this little 35-foot boat. And the wind went down, and there came the drone of an airplane. And Sammy Mogg jumped up, and he ran over to the window, and he said, "There comes Bob Jacobs! There comes Bob Jacobs! Only Bob Jacobs can fly in this weather." And so we all looked over, and everybody rushed down to the beach, and they pulled the boats off the beach and the dogs and the barrels and cleared the beach, and so the airplane could come in and land. And by this time, quite a bit of time had gone by. So I scribbled a postcard to my parents at Nome to let them know I was alive. I rushed down to the airplane, and I said to the pilot, "Here is this postcard, but I don't have a stamp. Would you please mail it for me?" And he was handing out bags of mail, and he looked down, and my parkie hood went back, and I had yellow hair, you know, and it came forward, and he nearly fell out of the airplane, and that's the man I married.
Is that that?
Yeah.
Tell me, how did you told us how he felt. How did
know.
You feel, huh?
Oh,
was there
well,
a little spark back
oh,
and forth going
well,
on?
Oh, well, it was like great flashes of electricity going, you know,
oh,
lightning struck and the ground trembled. It really, it was a very... I was breathless. I don't know. I never experienced this.
maybe this caller here has a comment for you. Hi, you're...
Uh-oh. We lost him.
We lost him.
Oh.
Sorry we lost you, folks. Try again. Neville, the sparks were flying. Oh, my goodness. Wasn't
yeah, yeah. You know, not too many years ago, I was out. He eventually left Alaska Airlines, where he was flying at that time, and started flying on the Arctic slope for Mark, what is today Mark Air, but it was then, it was Interior. And so he was flying in one day, and I was out there, and this is several years ago, but I was standing in the office with a friend, and I said, you know, it's been a lot of years, but I still get palpitations. I shouldn't say this on the radio. This is ridiculous.
Oh, go right ahead, Neville.
But, you know, it was love at first sight.
Palpitations, my goodness.
Yeah, I said, I still... Still good.
Pitter pat.
That's embarrassing. I'm sure you said that.
That is embarrassing. But go ahead. I think it's kind of interesting. I'm sure the audience is just enjoying the
well,
very
let's see. Well, you know what we should be talking about. I'm going to change the subject.
Okay, I got a great idea.
I'm going to be signing posters Saturday for a MUS of the Riverboat cover.
I want to talk about that. Let me talk about a couple of these folks. Then we want to talk about your artwork.
Yeah, because
okay.
I don't know where the hour went. It's nearly gone.
It's nearly gone. I want to talk just for a minute about Gabe's Truck and Auto, and I want to say some new things about Gabe's Truck and Auto. The first thing, now listen to me closely, because right now we're experiencing our first snow. A lot of people are sliding around. A lot of people are off of the road. They're in a panic situation, and I've been saying this for almost going on 3 years now, that we've had Alaska Gold Trails program here on KFAR, that you don't want to forget about Gabe's towing service. He has three wreckers available 24 hours a day, and he can handle any size rig. And getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. And I've advised all my friends out there to write that number down, put it in their glove compartment in case they have an emergency. Once again, the number is 456-6156, and I've got a half a dozen great, great rescue stories from my friends because they had that number available in a moment of emergency. A couple of other items that I'd like to make note of at Gabe's Truck and Auto. One of them is that they have two new transmission specialists now online, and they have a new automatic transmission department. So they have the high tech and the personnel to repair any automatic transmission. In addition to that, they've installed a new lube facility, which is the fastest lube in Fairbanks. And it takes about the time that required to drink a cup of coffee. So when you think about having car repairs done, stop over to Gabe's Truck and Auto. I've been working with Gabe's far longer than I've been doing the Alaska Gold Trails show, and I was very happy to have them join as one of the sponsors. They're located, of course, off of Van Horn at 2058 Donald Road. And once again, that phone number is 456-6156, and please give them a call. Tell them you heard Jim Madonna talking about them right here on Alaska Gold Trails. Now, I want to get back to Neville. And, Neville, let's talk a little bit about your artwork. Where do you, how do you, you've been doing artwork forever since you were a young
yes.
person. And do you have outlets or studios or what do you do?
In Fairbanks here, two galleries particularly carry my work there. My work is in various places, but especially at New Horizons Gallery on Cushman between first and between second and third
uh-huh.
on Cushman, and at House of Wood
uh-huh.
Between sixth and seventh and Lacey
seven.
And Noble up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so those two galleries in Fairbanks and in Anchorage Window Gallery carries
uh-huh.
my work. And I have two new prints out released this spring, which are part of an Alaska historical series that I'm working on. And the telephone book cover of the riverboat Nenana is a part of that historical series. And the painting was wet when I discovered the contest.
Oh, my.
I was working on it when I saw this thing in the paper and rushed it into the telephone company for their competition.
Just in time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what this caller has to say. Hi, you're on the air.
I was just wondering if Neville was going to be able to get us another nice picture for next year's phone book.
Well, what a lovely question. It is a competition, and the 20-some submissions, I think, were for this year. And I'm certainly going to work on it. I'm working on a historical series, and I hope, you know, this particular painting came out very nicely, and it was especially appropriate, as they had picked the Nenana for a National Historical Monument. A landmark, you know.
Yeah. Usually I've been complaining about the phone book covers, and this year I was left with nothing to complain about.
You know, my wife has said the same thing. She says, boy, this phone book cover is just the best we've ever had.
I appreciated this one, and I thank her for producing that.
Well, I thank you very much, and if you will stop by Bentley Mall on Saturday afternoon, we'll say hello to you, and you can take a look at the posters that they have run from MUS.
Is Betty still, is that where Betty's at?
That's where Betty's at.
Yeah, well, if Betty's
there.
Still over there, you can make a small donation to her while you're over there. Okay?
She was speaking about Bob. I've known him a lot longer than she has. I've known him for 40 years.
Oh, is that right? I recognize the voice of our speaker here.
Okay, well,
He's another Bob.
Take care.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now, about, tell us again, the painting was wet.
The painting was wet, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I was working on it when I read the competition, about the competition. I called them. It was Monday or Tuesday. I said, what is the deadline for this? And they said Friday. So I had to finish the painting, and I got it into House of Wood that morning, and they matted it and shrink-wrapped it, and I took it over by 4 o'clock, which was the deadline. It was still, you know, kind of a little damp under the mat.
Uh-huh.
But it's a part of a series that the first one I released a print of Fairbanks Waterfront,
uh-huh.
Golden Days on the Waterways. That was released in April from House of Wood. And that's a painting which depicts Fairbanks in the period of 1910, 1915. And, you know, people came in and they looked at this painting showing all these riverboats tied abreast in front of the old Northern Commercial Company docks. And
mm-hmm.
one man said, oh, that's not plausible. The river is not that big. He says, this is not authentic. Well, in fact, what they don't know is that in the early days, the present Chena River was like a branch of the Tanana. It was a channel of the Tanana. And after the railroad came in 1921, they diked off the channel of the Tanana, which flowed together with the Chena upstream about 20 miles. They put a big dike up there, and that created the Chena as it is today, and it became a clear water stream.
Mm.
And then they filled in the banks, and where Sampson Hardware is and all that, they put in fill there. And they put all the riprap along in front of, because of floods, they put it along in front of Barnett's trading post had become the Alaska Northern Commercial Company.
Uh-huh.
And so then they narrowed the river down, and eventually they built the permanent bridge. But every year, that bridge would wash out. But they had these steamboats could tie abreast 5 or 6 boats in front of where Nordstrom's is today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the period of history in early Fairbanks is fascinating. Something I thought we would be talking about riverboats, and in research and study, I've been sketching them for many, many years, originally over at White Horse and then up at Dawson. And they have two big posts on either side in the front of the housing.
Mm-hmm.
And those two big posts, people don't know what those are. They think they're masts or something. But those are walking posts. It's something rather unique to riverboats. When they get into shallow water and they get onto a sandbar, they take those out and put them out on the front of the boat, mount the boat to them, and it's like hoists or something, and the stern wheel power drives the boat, and it rises up on these walking sticks, and it lifts the bow of the boat so it can get free of and travel over a sandbar.
Oh, darn. That's interesting.
And there's many things very interesting about these riverboats. Yeah. That, anyway, go ahead.
Jim Binkley didn't say that when he was on the show. I'm surprised. Maybe he did say it, and I missed it. Mm-hmm. That, I wouldn't have missed something that interesting. Where do you display other than...
All of my prints are fine art prints, limited edition, numbered limited editions, and they're at House of Wood and New Horizon Galleries. And then I did another one. It's a small little picture of a train over Hurricane Gulch Bridge. But the poster put out by MUS is an MUS production for GTE, and that's a poster, and that's available from MUS.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be signing those Saturday afternoon between 1 and 3 at Bentley Mall.
And you say you have some small prints. You have prints on display around town?
I have a painting over at Mount McKinley Bank. I have paintings, here and there around town. And one, I think you can see it when you walk right down the street on, is it 3rd Avenue? Mount McKinley Bank is on 3rd there between Lacey and mm-hmm. Cushman. And as you walk by and you look in the window, I have a small picture of a cabin in the winter.
Do they have to look through the window?
I think they
can. Can they go inside?
They can go inside. Oh. And, of course, anybody would want to go inside Mount McKinley Bank.
Well, of course. And I'd like to make a point. If you go inside and you're looking at Neville's painting there, while you're looking there, talk to the folks there at Mount McKinley Bank about their prime time account. That's for the folks that are over 55. And it's kind of interesting what they have. The services provided in this particular account include the interest on the account at 5.25 per annum, compounded daily for an effective annual yield of 5.47%. Checking. Let's talk about checking for a minute. No service charges, no minimum balance, 200 free checks. And the fees are waived on traveler's checks, money orders, money wire transfers. That's Mount McKinley Bank. They're located at 530 4th Avenue, and of course they extend between 3rd and 4th, and their parking is on 4th Avenue. You want to give them a call and tell them where you heard about this ad? 452-1751. And they got Saturday banking, 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. for your convenience, folks. That's 452-1751. And you tell them over there at Mount McKinley Bank that you heard Neville and Jim talking about them here on Alaska Gold Trails. Neville, we got a couple of minutes here. Let's sum it up real quick about your experiences painting.
Oh, we could do a half a dozen more shows.
I'm sure we could.
I was painting this summer on Denali Highway, and one time, years ago, I met this wonderful sculptor, fresh from, I think he'd come from New York, but anyway, he had done a sculpture, and it was up on top of Chena Ridge Road. In the middle of winter, I drove him up there to see if his sculpture was surviving, and his name was Alfred Skondovich. Is that name familiar to you?
Yeah, that's familiar. My goodness, Alfred, you have more talents than we knew about here.
I buy supplies from him at Macaulay Reprographics.
Oh,
yes,
is that
for
right?
My drawing,
I'll be darned. I didn't know that. Well, thank you so much for mentioning him here. You met Alfred, and that was...
That was back in the 50s one time. So to sum up is a really hard thing to say because Alaska is so diverse and a wonderful country, and adventures here are endless.
And they have been and will continue to be, won't they, Neville?
I hope so.
I could sum it up real nice. I'm sure that the listening audience is very pleased to have had you on Alaska Gold Trails today. And I want to thank you very much,
Neville, for
joining me.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jim Madonna.
This is Alaska Gold Trails. Oh, it was fun having Neville Jacobs on the show with me today. Thank you for joining me, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks. This is Jim Madonna, and you're listening to KFAR Radio 660 on your radio dial.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. Former Housing Secretary Sam...